Dr. Walton, did you make contact with aliens? Were you taken to another planet, to a mothership? How do they communicate with them? Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be? What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body, because I am more than physical matter. I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Broadcasting from a shack on a hill in the Mossy Creek bottoms of Cane Creek, Arkansas. Broadcasting to you on the World Wide Web all across the world. This is Lighting the Void, and I'm your host, Joe Roop. We're live on the Fringe FM. New schedules for tonight. 2 hours, not 3 hours. We're doing a two-hour broadcast from here on out while we update the station, and that's how it's going to be for a while. So directly after the show, starting at 11 p.m. Pacific, The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable will be on. And that's how we're going to roll with it. I don't know that what is kind of going on right now. Like, I just had a brownout, so you guys are going to have to bear with me because we got some heavy storms coming in. So at any point in time, this thing may go down. Now, we have a backup supply headed out this way to the studio because of this situations that keep happening out here. So I want you guys to know that literally the power just browned out. I don't know if you guys can still hear me or not, but hopefully everything's all good. It looks like we're still on the air. I want to thank our sponsors tonight, Metaphorical Archaeology, GetTheTea.com, and AncientLifeOil.com. If you guys get anything from them, please tell them the Fringe FM sent you. Fill out the box or whatever they have down there. There's a little checkout box there where you can fill that out. If you want to support the show, you can donate, grab something from the shack. I want to tell all of you that your orders are on the way. Mary Ducina, your tote bag is on the way. Yeah, it's really cool to see the store flowing good again. And another thing, too, is starting May the 1st, all of the people that signed up on the Patreon are going to get some. It doesn't matter, like, what package that you signed up for. Just because you signed up early before May 1st, I'm probably going to give you some more stuff, even if you buy one of the lower packages. But we're going to do everything in that Patreon, from a specialized RSS feed where you get behind the scenes and after the show content, behind the scenes footage and via video, the Astral Travel Journal, the Ask Me Anything Journal, all of that is going to be on there, as well as some astrology and tarot readings from me. And if you get the big packages, then it's bigger stuff and you'll get shout outs. You just got to go check it out, right? So patreon.com/LTV radio or click the Patreon banners on the website. All right, so let's bring on our guest, and we will we're going to do things different. I just want to say that really, really quick because, y'all hear that? It's rattling in here. So we're going to do things a little bit different because I don't like having to just say a whole bunch of stuff before I start talking to my guest. So I'm going to do things the old school Art Bell way with the sponsors and introductions and stuff. We'll just do it as the show goes, okay? So if you're a sponsor and you're listening, that's what's going to happen. So if you don't hear anything right at the beginning of the show, just know that we're going to be plugging you throughout the show. All right, so let's bring on our guest. Amrit Soli has advanced knowledge of physics, and he can spend some time providing details that are complicated. But what got my attention with him is he has a sense of humor, and some of his views align with the thought of what I say a lot on the show, right? Which is science is just explaining the least of things. And he also feels that consciousness needs to be an essential part of science, which is something that we definitely have talked about on this show quite a bit. And he has a book out called, it looks like The End of Big Bang Cosmology. And we're going to be talking about that too. And he's a physicist. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Amrit. I appreciate it.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, where are you? Are we Skyping you from? By the way, I never did ask you.
I'm from Slovenia. Now in my country, it's 6 p.m. 6 a.m. Sorry, 6 a.m. in the morning.
Oh wow!
And we have a very good weather, so here everything is okay with weather.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming on the broadcast. I really appreciate it. That's awful early to get up, but I really do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Your website is bijectiveinstitute.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I got that link right because I wanted to, I could spell stuff so wrong sometimes. Now, I'll drop all that stuff in the Fringe FM chat. If you guys want to join the chat room, it's thefringe.fm/chatroom. How long have you been studying physics?
Now it's for 35 years. Actually, what happened to me that when I was 20 years old, once I went in mountains and time has stopped. Actually, when I came back from the mountains, I was a different person. The linear time didn't run for me anymore. So this was a huge, then this somehow started a huge interest for physics, for Einstein relativity, what is time, what is matter, what is energy, what is universe, what is all about. And now after 35 years, I have to say I have a good result.
Now when people say that the laws of physics change every 20 years, is that true?
Yeah.
Is that really true?
No, it's not. It's not.
It's like a myth, right? That's kind of like a saying that everybody says.
Yeah, the universe, the first thing we have to understand that universe never started. Universe, it's eternal system. There was no creation. Universe is self-creating itself through the black holes. In the black holes, the density of space is so low in the center of the black hole that the matter is transforming back into the elementary particles. You can see in my on my book on the whole our homepage, there are these huge jets out of galaxies coming out of the center of galaxies. These are sub-elementary particles which are then spread in the universal space, and this is a fresh energy that that new stars can create. And this this process is eternal. There was no beginning. This idea of the beginning somehow belongs to the history of cosmology.
Yeah, so you're saying that in cosmology, the beginning, the Big Bang and the end or whatever they talk about, just the Big Bang period, that's just a concept made by humans that in the universe, there is no beginning or end. It's everything. It's just eternal, like infinity.
You know, if you study in details the inflation theory, the Stephen Hawking idea of the beginning from some infinite point, all this somehow is not supported with with physics as really physics are. These are some, let's say, abstract speculations which are supported with mathematics. But you have to understand that mathematics can support anything. You know, that's why I develop a bioactive research methodology in physics, which means that every element in the model must have exactly one correspondent element in the physical reality. You can imagine this very easily. Your left hand, it's universe, and your right hand is a model of the universe. So between your palms, you have five fingers on each hand. There is a bioactive correspondence. Okay, so what we are doing in our institute, we are building physics, which is built under the bioactivity principle. This means nothing is invented. We are not using physics to invent new things. We are just working with the facts. That's the big difference.
Gotcha. Okay, and just a correction that I have. I put the bioactiveinstitute.com, but the website that I found is bioactivephysics.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you wrote Bioactive Physics, The Infinite History of Now, Relatively Reborn, and now the new book, The End of Big Bang Cosmology. So
exactly.
Now, are you familiar with Dr. Claude Swanson at all?
No.
Well, he talks about this, which I'm seeing some pictures on your website here about these toroidal fields that are all in the universe that just kind of it goes out, it comes around, and it comes back in. You see the pictures all the time, like the one you have on your website. Is that really functioning like how you believe that the universe works all the way around fundamentally?
You know, these ideas, I mean, we have in physics many, many ideas which might be exact, but which might be not exact. That's why what we are doing, we are only using scientific data which are measured, you know, because basically physics is a science which is based on the experiment. So this is our primal, let's say, orientation. We are using experimental data to build an adequate model of the universe and also of, let's say, particles physics, because you have to understand let's say the discovery of Higgs boson. The Higgs boson is a flux of energy which is released in particles in proton collisions, and the lifetime of the Higgs boson is around 10⁻²⁷ seconds. And the Higgs boson, for example, was never observed in nature. It was observed only in the cyclotrons. But in the cyclotrons, they are somehow man-made physical circumstances which are not existing in the physical universe. So today, somehow, the whole idea of the Higgs mechanism is a kind of new physics which has no ground in experimental data, which are somehow not artificially made. There is in the cyclotron physics, they discover a top quark, and the top quark has energy around 180 times of the proton. Now, wow. There is no scientific literature, and nobody can explain you where is the top quark. So what is the point in physics to discover things which we cannot observe, you understand, which are somehow existing only in the cyclotrons. So what we are trying to do, what we are doing, we are our idea is that the results of our work is that there was no Big Bang, that there was no supersymmetry, that all this idea of a standard model, you know, where we have now every year we have some new elementary particles which are discovered in the cyclotrons, that all this is a kind of physics which will never have any technological application. Let's say quantum electrodynamics. We can talk now, we have phones, we have computers, because quantum electrodynamics has developed electromagnetism in the way that today we have, let's say, this technology. But the cyclotron physics will never give any technology because it's a man-made, you know. So this is the main problem of physics today. Are we searching for something that really exists in the universe, or we are just inventing things and creating physics which is all, let's say, for example, only in the cyclotrons? That's one of the main reasons that we established this Bioactive Research Institute. We are saying we have to go back to the ground, back to reality.
And so what about the double slit experiment and the idea of the photons and waves and things like that? Does that still hold water according to your research?
You know, double slit experiment is a beautiful experiment, which today still is not well understood. Now, recently, our institute is joined by Professor Paolo Di Sia from Padova University, and we are developing a new model which is called superfluid dynamic space. Actually, the idea of Einstein that space is empty, you know, this idea is now prevailing in physics for 100 years, but this idea is false, because you cannot have a material body which is, according to Einstein formula, EA is mc square. You cannot have a given physical object in empty space which has no physical properties of energy. So our model is that universal space is primordial energy of the universe. So when you are sending, let's say, electron through the upper slit in double slit experiment, the electron, it's also interacting with this superfluid dynamic space and creating a wave. So the wave is going through both slits, down slit and upper slit. And that's why we have this interference pattern, because every particle...
777-5631. Yeah, well, the storms just totally knocked us out here big time. And I have no idea. I can't promise you it's not going to happen again until we get that backup, whatever that thing is, the UPS out here. We've got everything we need except that, and we're working on that right now. All right, so Amrit is back with us. I got you back here, don't I, Amrit? You're with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. So Amrit Soli is with us, physicist and author of The End of Big Bang Cosmology. And before the outage happened here, we were talking about, you know, how a lot of physics is, and according to you, is disproven. But I want to be doubly clear about this, that what you're saying is that there is no cosmology as far as the beginning of the universe goes. There is no beginning to it all as far as what your research has shown, or is that just based on your theory? I'm sure it's all theory to begin with, but...
You see, to understand better what universe is, we have first to understand what it's time.
Okay.
And we can do together a very simple experiment. You move your hand in front of your head. Your hand, it's moving only in space, but you are experiencing through time, because the linear time, past, present, future, is in the brain. So we are experiencing motion in space through the linear time, which is in the brain. Article on this was published by Buhushi in Nature years ago. So the linear time, it's only in the head. In the universe, there is no physical time. And somehow we are still suffering this for 120 years. Einstein used to say, past, present, and future are stubbornly persistent illusions. Einstein also used to say, there is no other time than order of events by which we measure it. This actually means that we are living in eternal now and here. This, in the scientific terms, we say that universe, it's time invariant. Nothing ever happened in physical time because physical time does not exist.
Wow. So then what, according to your research, is making up this illusion or illusion of time? I mean, is it just in the brain? I mean, because that's really perplexing the more I think about it. You know, are we creating the universe via our, you know, observation and that's it?
No, we are not creating. The Foxy Foundational Questions Institute from America, in 2009, there was a big research on Foxy about what it's time. And Julian Barbour is English physicist. He got the first prize, and the article is online or Arxiv, The Nature of Time. Barbour is saying that actually that there is no physical time. But what is his mistake? That he would like somehow to remove time from physics. This is not okay because time is existing. Time is what we measure with clocks. Okay. And with clocks, we measure numerical sequential order of events that are happening in space. But what we have to understand, we published this with Italian physicist Fiscaletti a few years ago. We published 27 pages article in Foundations of Physics, that the nature of time is such. Let's say, as I said before, you move a hand in front of your head. The motion has a sequential order. We can imagine that actually you are moving your hand on the Planck distances, okay?
Okay.
And the distance, every distance of motion is a sum of Planck distances. And every Planck distance, it has correspondent Planck time. So when we are measuring this numerical sequential order, we get duration.
Gotcha.
But duration is the results of the measurement from the side of the observer, which exactly means no measurement, no duration. So we are believing somehow that things in the universe have duration on its own, but they don't have. Duration is the result of the measurement from the side of the observer. So actually, 20 years ago, I had on my visit card, you know, when I went for conferences, eternity is now. And people have been laughing to me. They say, that's a very good joke. But I say, that's not a joke. That's scientific truth, you know. And the mainstream science still didn't get that truth. That's the main problem of physics.
It's all very interesting to me, but the idea that there is no time, that we are just experiencing, I guess, numbers happening in sequence or something happening in sequence that appears to be movement or time or whatever. But the truth is, I mean, if you really think about it, like you're saying, we base our time on the movements of objects in space, like the sun, the moon, the way the light shines. So we come up with a system. And we call it, you know, past, present, and future. We put years and dates and clocks to it and all that stuff. But the truth is like we're just in like one big moment of now. Now, I understand all of that inherently, but how do you explain growth? How do we explain, if we're just in one big moment of now, things that grow?
Yeah.
The idea of birth, death, rebirth, I know it's just life, but it, is that just another illusion that makes us feel like there's time as well?
No, nothing is illusion. You know, the only illusion is it's the only illusion that exists is in the human mind. We are all the time creating illusions. But the universe is something very real. There is no illusion there. Your okay. question is very interesting, and I will explain this in the frame of Einstein relativity. You know this famous twin paradox. You know everybody knows this. That if let's say that we are twins, you remain here on the Earth, and I go with the space with a fast spaceship. I go in the universe,
right? Yeah.
And when I come back, you know. I will for me time is running a bit slower because I'm going very fast, so I will be a bit younger than you.
Right.
Now we have to understand this. What is the point in all this? Let's say also what is valid in the general relativity. We are twins and you go on the moon. On the moon, you will age fast.
All right, so hopefully that don't happen again. Jesus. All right, so if you're just tuning in, Amrit Sorli is here with us, physicist. We're talking about his book, The End of Big Bang Cosmology. And right before the power went out, I'd asked you a question about time. And, you know, you talked about the theory of, like, you know, if we travel in a spaceship, you go out to this faraway distance and come back, then, you know, you're going to be a little younger than me. And then as you went on to explain that, then we went down again. So just go ahead and pick
continue.
Up from there.
Let's say that we are twins and I go on the moon, you know. On the moon, there is less gravity and clocks are running faster. So I will age faster. But what is important to understand that you and me, we are both aging only in space. We are not aging in time because there is no physical time. Time is only a sequential order of the way we are changing. The same is with the entropy. Let's say entropy, it's happening only in space. This, let's say, superfluid dynamic space of the universe is time invariant, which means that the whole idea, you know, of the beginning of some big explosion and all this, it's just belongs to the history of science, the cosmological principle, which means that the observer see universe from every corner in the same way. It's time invariant, which means that universe as we see it today was always like this. Universe is eternal in the shape. Is eternal in the form, this eternity of the universe means a lot also for our understanding of life, because life is developing in entire universe. Life is not only developing on our planet. The evolution of life is a consistent part of cosmic evolution. And that's why I like it very much. Before we started, I've heard something about UFOs and all this. Definitely there are other intelligences, and definitely they are visiting the Earth. And I am sure that they try to help us because we are on the wrong way.
Yeah, right.
We are destroying this planet for the last 50 years, and we cannot go on like this.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Now, here's the thing. That's a pretty interesting thing. So let's talk about this real quick. Did you create bijective physics? Is this something that you
yes.
came up with?
Interesting. Yes, I did that. You know, when I read the articles in physics now for last 20 years, my impression is that I understand every year less. You know, there is something happening in the theoretical physics that the physicists are taking five equations here, five equations there. They are mixing this equation together and creating kind of new soup, you know, new ideas, which are somehow totally disconnected with the physical reality. And this definitely is a big crisis in physics. You know, Karl Popper is one of the most eminent persons, scientists, about what really science is, you know, and many of today's scientific theories are not falsifiable, which means you cannot prove it, that they are false, you cannot prove that they are wrong, because they are out of the context of science. Let's say Big Bang theory is not falsifiable, you know. Big Bang theory actually is a religious theory. In the Bible, the whole thing was, let's say, 6 days, and then the seventh day God was a bit tired and he said, now I have to rest. And in the Big Bang theory, God was much faster, you know, he did it in a fraction of the second. But the whole principle is the same. There is some outside kick that universe has started, which actually is creator. In the model that I develop, the God is not outside of the universe. The God is the core of the universe. They are together. God and universe, it's one thing.
Yeah.
And I think this is the right thing, the right way to see how things are.
Yeah, I do too. That's the way. I mean, in the New Age movement, I guess people. We get made fun of because we believe that I love to look at the science of everything too, but you know, we do get a lot of grief because we intuitively believe that. Does that make sense? Like we use our intuition that says, you know, hey, I get this feeling that
exactly.
It's you all know, the
this
same.
Is very beautiful. I will give you now a very beautiful example. When I was around 10 years old, they start us teaching at school that the big theory, the Big Bang theory, is a valid theory, that universe has started with some infinite small point with infinite pressure and density, you know. And I went to visit my grandmother. My grandmother was living in the mountains, and in entire life she was not moving more than 40 kilometers away from the birthplace. She never see, let's say, the seaside and so on and so on. So she was just having 4 years of school and she was there. And I was talking to her and I say, look, Ma, now they have this idea that universe has started from the infinite point. And she looked at me and she said, listen, that's extremely stupid idea. I don't believe that. That's so strange to me. So, you know, if you have a little bit of let's say, this natural intelligence, which we all humans have, a Big Bang theory, it's a nonsense. And that's why, as you said before, intuitively, we feel that things are different. Just one thing about this is very important, you know. The whole idea of the universal space is expanding. This is not scientific idea. This is wrong. Why? Because NASA has measured back in 2014 that universal space has Euclidean shape. This is a very accurate work NASA has done. They measure angles between three stellar objects, and the sum of the angles is always 180 degrees. This means that the shape of the universal space is Euclidean. And now, the whole idea, you know, that universe has started from some infinite point and expanding into infinite universe is not scientific, because infinite mathematical point has no dimension, is dimensionless, and something that is dimensionless can never expand into something that is infinite. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if you have a mathematical point, as Hawking has suggested, mathematical point is dimensionless. What does it mean? That if something has no dimension, it cannot have pressure and temperature and density. So the whole Big Bang, you know, the whole Big Bang is not scientific theory. I'm sorry to say this. I mean, I'm not sorry to say this, but that's the truth. That's not science.
So the mathematical point needs to be defined. In other words, it can't just be a point and that's it, right? Like it has to be It has to be matter. Yeah, well, I mean, it is so perplexing. Like, but the universe is so beautiful. I'd like on the front of your book, you've got a picture of a black hole, and we were talking about that. I was Skype chatting you on my phone, waiting on this to come back on, and you called it a jet. Explain that to me. Like, you're saying that everything is created by the black holes and taken in, and then in kind of like this big system of recycling energy.
Exactly. In the sense, the astronomy in the last 15 years has proved that almost in every galaxy, in the center of the galaxy, there is a huge black hole.
Okay.
And this huge black hole is eating the old matter and transforming this old matter into the fresh energy in the form of elementary particles. And this in the center of black holes, there are these huge jets of this fresh energy, which are thrown out in the universal space. So the black holes are rejuvenating systems of the universe. And there is a lot of scientific evidence on this, that these jets exist. They have been somehow observed. A lot of calculation on this is existing. So actually, if we take the evidence, the scientific evidence of the black holes in the center of the galaxies, everybody will agree that black holes are rejuvenating systems of the universe. You know, there is no doubt about this. So the whole Big Bang theory is clinical dead. Has died clinically when NASA has measured that universal space is infinite. But because so much of money was invested, so much of articles were published, you know, about Big Bang, about supersymmetry, about particle physics, that now somehow the scientific establishment is still holding on that, because once Big Bang theory is declared dead, you know, the whole cyclotron physics has no any more stable basis. That's the main problem for them, not for me.
Yeah, I get that. So, so let me ask you a question. Then the energy and the matter that a black hole takes in, and when you're showing these jets, does it recycle it in a way? I mean, it just seems like these things swallow stars and galaxies and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And then it comes, is it recycling that, or is it just coming from somewhere else? I don't know. It's kind of tricky when you think about it.
Okay, that's a very good question. That we will make it clear now. You know, the whole idea of the black holes is not well understood, because they say what is happening behind the event horizon, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And because they think that space is empty, there is no solution for this. So what I did some precise calculations, which were published last year in August in Scientific Reports. This is a journal of Nature, Springer Group. The impact factor is 4.5. This is a good journal. In these calculations, I show that in the center of the black hole, the density of the space, it's so low that atoms become unstable. You can imagine this like we are standing on the iron nets, you know, which is, let's say, which have a 10% 10 centimeter by 10 centimeter, you know. So we can still stand this very good on such a raster. But when this is growing to 20 to 30, when we have let's say 1 meter by one, we will fall through. We will not be stable anymore. The same is happening in the center of the black hole. The density of the space is so low that the atoms become unstable, and atoms are falling apart back into elementary particles. And elementary particles are then somehow thrown out in these huge jets. And this... Good.
I mean, it's got to be. That was a massive lightning bolt, by the way. I'm talking about... there was no dodging that one. That was definitely going to take down the studio and everything. I got to build some type of... I've tried my own stuff, lightning, making my own lightning rods and all this other stuff. I got to get experimental with it, you know, out here. Yeah, anyways.
Yes.
So what were we talking about before the massive lightning bolt smacked me? We were talking about...
We've been talking about black holes.
Black holes, that's right. So the matter that goes through, you were discussing that on one end it takes in, like, you know... it's almost like a mess, and I hate to use this phrase because it's not very intelligent, but it's almost like a massive garbage disposal, right? For
yes.
Right. But on the other end, it spits out elements, you know, elements that make up our universe and life. Like, when you say elements, do you mean like photon particles? Is that what you mean?
Elementary particles. These are, you know, protons, electromagnetic radiation.
Gotcha.
This actually what the Erwin Schrödinger, he used to say, forces and particles are different structures of this.
yeah, so look, sorry about that, guys. So here's the thing. Man, this is pretty interesting stuff. What do you, I guess... See, it's doing it again, man. Are you there? You're there, right?
Yes, I'm here, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, we talked about black holes, and that's where we were. We're trying to get through this black hole thing, man, and it just, like, the universe doesn't want us to talk about it. And I'm texting him on the phone here, or on Skype, and he's like, well, the universe is with, what did you say? You said, eternity is now, so hurry. No hurry? No hurry is what you said, right? So really, the whole if we look at things fundamentally, just to go back to that, the way the universe is working and time and all that, the growth thing and gravity is what kind of throws us off. Not to mention the distances. Distance is what we call time, or we're making time out of distance and moving objects in space and creating clocks out of it, and the fact that we have gravity on and it causes us to grow and die and life and all that. But really, just one big eternal now. But what I'm trying to understand, and you have to forgive me because I'm just such a simple Southern man, is the bijective physics, that it works mathematically in one moment, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get my head around.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, what Einstein did a very beautiful job on relativity, but at his time and still today, relativity is not well understood. Because time is not a fourth dimension of space. If you study special relativity, you can see that actually the fourth coordinate is also a spatial coordinate. It's not time. And as I said before, Einstein explained that very good, what it's time, but we didn't get it. And now in the bijective physics, time is existing. Sure, we are using time in physics as before, but we know what time is. Time is just a parameter of changes which happen in space. And as you say before, gravity, you see, the main problem of why we don't understand gravity yet fully in physics is that we think that gravity is something that happened in space-time. Gravity never happened in time, because gravity is immediate force, you know. If time would be something physical in universe, then we would need time for gravity to happen. But in this Newton formula, you know, force gravitational is, you have on the top, you have mass 1 by mass 2 by gravitational constant, and then down you have a radius on square. So gravity in the Newton physics is immediate force, and this is what I published now in Scientific Reports, Nature. that actually what is gravity, you will understand this in a moment. You see, you have two objects which are on the distance, let's say, of a half a meter. Between them, there is a gravity. So what is happening is that every physical object is diminishing density of space in its center exactly for the amount of the energy. This is this formula. A is mc squared, and then you have a maximum density minus minimum density, which is density in the center per volume. This is extension of the Einstein formula. And okay. Now, these two objects are diminishing density of the space, and the gravity is this outer pressure of space which is pushing objects together. Gotcha. So gravity is working from outside, you know, because this superfluid dynamic space is four-dimensional and physical objects are three-dimensional. So they are somehow locked in the lower density of space. So there is no graviton. You know, this idea that there must be some particle, graviton, which is traveling between physical objects and putting them and holding them together, that's a farce. That's not right.
And now, have you tested this theory of bijective physics against every system and everything that works in the universe? We're talking about how galaxies form, how stars, like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you tested it against everything? I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot, right?
You know,
I mean,
that's a good question, but I will explain now what actually bijective principle means. Bijective principle means, you know, in the mathematics, we have some very, very beautiful theory, which is a set theory. And now, in the set theory, things are so crystal clear that there is no escape. So what I define, the universe, the physical universe, has different elements. Okay, this is set X, and the model of the universe is set Y, has also different elements. And now what we require in the bijective principle is that every element in the model must have exactly one correspondent element to the elements in the universe. In this way, we get 100% exact picture of the universe.
Now, so now, correspondent, but do you mean opposite or just corresponding? Like, I got a picture here. I think I understand what you're saying now. Okay, go ahead.
Corresponding, we get 100% exact picture of the universe. And
makes sense.
And now on this basis, we will do revision. We are doing revision of existent physics. You know, let's say very practical. The gravitational time dilation, you know, that you have in physics something which is somehow proved scientifically by Shapiro, you know, the famous physicist Shapiro. He measured that light, when it's traveling in the strong gravity, needs a bit more time to come from A to B. Okay, now the official explanation is that time as a fourth dimension of space, it's getting a bit longer in stronger gravity, and that's why the photon needs more time. That's not true. The fact is that in the stronger gravity, the density of space is lower, and this is changing electrodynamical properties of the space. We call this permittivity and permeability of space, and that's why a light has a bit different speed. Okay, this is the result of bijective research, you know. And Einstein was not he was not standing behind this, that the constant, that light has a constant speed, you know. Light in generally has constant speed, but it has a minimal variations which are depending on the permeability and permittivity of space. And this is still holding general relativity in place, you know. Physicists are somehow taking this constancy of light as a kind of, you know, rule as a kind of Bible rule that cannot be touched. And this is in the way, this is why physics cannot progress, you know, because we are somehow totally blind.
Well, the consistency of light, like when they did the, all right, so, man, this has been the hardest discussion I've ever had in my entire life to get across. Sorry about that, guys. Y'all are hearing two separate Lighting the Void shows, but this one is the live show that keeps going down. So, yeah, what were we talking about before the break, Amrit?
We have been talking. You say something about smashing particles in cyclotrons.
Yeah, right. So you were saying that light is not a constant, and for us New Agers and then spiritual people like that, we hate to hear that because we believe that light is absolutely a constant in the universe. And so things like the double slit experiment kind of validate that to us, but then also like quantum entanglement, where they destroy, you know, the let's say three particles are entangled and they destroy one. Well, it doesn't really die. It just flips and it's over it equally on the other side. Now, kind of like the set theory you're talking about, it just flips, so to speak. So wouldn't that make light a constant though? If it can never be theoretically destroyed.
You know, what you say about quantum entanglement, we published an article about this years ago. This superfluid dynamic space, okay, this medium is a direct information medium of entanglement. This means that actually entire universe is always entangled because only this eternity of now exists. We are all entangled in this eternity of now. And this Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen experiment, you know, it cannot be solved if you think that entanglement is happening in some physical time. Once you understand that entanglement is happening only in space, then you understand that this space is a medium of entanglement. So let's say you love your girlfriend and you don't need to tell her that, you know, she will feel that. And this information about your love, it's entanglement, you know.
Gotcha. That
actually
makes sense.
We have to understand that the photon is taking information from one place to another place, from A to B in space with the light speed. But there are more subtle ways of communication which are actually immediate, and this is entanglement. And superfluid dynamic space is a medium of entanglement. So we are, the entire universe is entangled, but we are not aware of it, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So that just proves your theory even more of what you're talking about when it comes to bioactophysics or bijective physics. So
definitely, yeah.
All right. So then when the universe in a black... So basically what you're saying is it's all space. There is no time. And it's all a matter of different densities based on the space itself and the mass itself. And then you got these black holes that take in matter and energy and all this stuff. And then on the other side, they jet out the corresponding set or the corresponding particle. And then it just starts all over.
Yeah, in universe, you know, in universe, everything is running smoothly. In universe, everything is perfect. In universe, there is no unsolved problems. We have been creating these problems of physics because we don't understand exactly what is going on. We are inventing physics. You know, what is very important, if you want to make physics what physics is, then you cannot involve your mind. Your mind can be only a worker, but it cannot be creator. The creator is conscious observer, which means that you are 100% aware the way your mind is working. What is happening in last 20 years is that mind is creating physics. That's why there is no progress, because physicists are just inventing things. They are, you know, like in the circus, you have a you they take this these animals out of the head. You understand? You know? Have you seen this? This is what we are doing today in physics. We don't understand something, and we just invent a new theory to cover something, and then we have a more and more unsolved problems. I think that Albert Einstein, Max Planck, Erwin Schrödinger, these guys are turning in the graves. For last 50, 60 years, we are destroying physics. That's the main problem. And that's why I establish bioactive physics institute, because we have to bring physics back to reality. Physics is something extremely beautiful, and today is being largely destroyed. Destroyed because physicists, every person which has a PhD in physics is inventing some kind of mental crap, which actually does not add anything to the beauty of physics. That's the main problem.
Okay. All right. So then you believe in creation and conscious creator, right? So, then what role, because you brought up consciousness, right? What role does consciousness play in this factor? Because I've had some pretty interesting experiences as far as like the out-of-body experience goes, things with synchronicities and manifestation, stuff like that. So there's got to be some type of, thing running in the background called consciousness that's in everything, I would think.
Yes, you know, this is like, let's say matter has three dimensions, okay? Then you have this superfluid dynamic space which has a four dimensions. Then you have a kind of more subtle energy which we call prana, you know, which we call life energy in China. Chi in India, prana. This is five dimensions. And then we have more subtle layers of energies. And then the primordial space in which everything exists is consciousness. This is n-dimensional Hilbert space. We can describe this mathematically, where actually consciousness can be presented, described mathematically as a photon, which has an infinite frequency. We publish articles on this, but I have to say that still this is, you know, we cannot reach with bioactivity so far. I think that consciousness, more than something that we are searching on intellectually, we have to jump into consciousness, into meditation, because once you go beyond your mind, then you go deeper into consciousness. Consciousness ontologically is much higher than mind. So also bioactive physics in the field of consciousness has a certain limits, because consciousness is not something that you think about. Consciousness is something that you experience.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, exactly. We were just talking about that last night too, how experience tells us our truth. It's as if there's been this system that set itself up to live like life through experiences, to learn about itself almost, or something like that. That's what it seems intuitively seems like to me, that there's all these, that the universe is doing everything that it can to try to create life. And, you know, you hear about all of these, I guess in religion, like I can't wait till I die, so I go to heaven and get away from this place. Well, what if you just get cycled back through and the universe is doing everything in its power? What if life is like the greatest thing in the universe, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, universe is always open and is pushing us that we would understand what is going on. But as we are somehow so blind with this, you know, the main virus on this planet, coronavirus, is not danger at all. The main virus is this idea of the profit, you know, that we must make a profit. In the universe, there is no profit. The apple is not growing because to make a profit. The apple is growing that you can eat it and you can live, you know. So in the universe, everything is perfect. But we are damaged mentally with this idea of making profit. We are destroying this planet for last 50 years. I just published an article with my colleague, Professor DeSia from Italy, that actually 5G is extremely dangerous. And now I will explain you why. Because the 5G works on 30,000 megahertz. You know, what does it mean? This is immense power. This frequency has this is such a frequency that is destroying the electromagnetic coherent fields of the human beings and of every existent life. And that's why there was such a huge damage in New York, because in New York the 5G antennas are on, and and New York,
and it's dense and Milano populated, and densely Wuhan, populated
in yeah. these three cities there is the most dense nets of 5G. So 5G is destroying electromagnetic coherence field of human beings and lowering the immune systems, and people become vulnerable for this virus. That's something very important, actually, what that science can offer into understanding what is going on with all this virus and 5G, you know?
Well, that's a good question. We had at the beginning of all this, Dr. Clyde Seidel came on and said that he was showing patients that were having acute respiratory syndrome, where they couldn't breathe. There was oxygen deprivation. He said it's as if, he said it's as if some of these patients have been dropped off in the top of Mount Everest without acclimating to the oxygen. And some of them don't even have pneumonia, that kind of thing. So we looked at some studies behind the scenes here about what this frequency does to oxygen molecules, and it totally damages them, you know. Totally damages oxygen molecules, and if you don't have oxygen, well, then you don't have anything. I mean, it's just your cells are going to die, life is going to die, you know, organs are going to fail, that kind of thing. But it can easily be blended in, and I don't know why there's no sanctions. And I've talked about this too before, that I feel like some of these scientists and people with big money, people that want to just push technology and push and push. If these are the smartest people in the world and they can pretty much fool anybody, doesn't matter how much money you got or not, because they're so smart, then who is going to be, who's overseeing them, making sure they're not killing people?
You know, I was sending, a letter a few days ago to American government. I don't know if they reached this or not. But definitely the 5G technology has to be switched off immediately in America if you want to save the health policy. Not even one study was done on the safety of 5G, because the big companies have so much money that somehow they have been buying the policy of the countries, and they are just installing now this also in Italy. Let's say like this, I will be very clear. In the United States, you propose an experiment. You take five mouses, you know, you put them in the wooden box, and you give them food and water for 10 days. You put them 1 meter away from the 5G antenna, and then you take another box with the same, you take 10 mouses, you give them food, you give them you give them water, and you put this 1 kilometer away, 1,000 meter away from the 5G antenna. Okay, you do this experiment, and I guarantee you, in 10 days, the mouses in the first box, which is close to 5G, will be finished, will not be even alive anymore. So the engineers which they built the 5G, they don't understand that the basis of life, not only human being, but the basis of life, of entire life, is electromagnetic coherent field. This was discovered by Fritz Popp 30 years ago. We had the communication with him 30 years ago already, before this was searched by Russian scientists. The coherent electromagnetic field is the base of our health. And 5G is destroying this. The result is that the immune system is so low that people are somehow then vulnerable to this virus, which actually is just a normal flu. You know, this is just a normal flu. It's nothing more. And this flu is coming every winter. So actually, the big pharma has so much money that it's fooling the entire human population. And this is I think this is one of the biggest crimes against humanity. I think that your president has power enough to do the experiment with 5G. As I say, you put 10 mouses close to 5G. I guarantee you, in 10 days, they will be finished. Because, as I say, 5G is extremely dangerous.
I agree with you, and a lot of people agree with you, and we got to do something about it. Right now, the only thing that I could say that we can do is just keep talking about it and don't buy a 5G phone. Simple as that. Cut the money off. If everybody doesn't buy their, you know, don't buy their products, and we don't use their products, then, I mean, they can't, right? I don't think they can force us. But anyways, so, you know, we only got
The 5G, like, the 5G phone is not a problem. The problem is our 5G antennas.
Yeah, the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the 5G antennas, they have such a strong radiation in this superfluid. Because we have to actually understand, the superfluid dynamic space is a carrier of electromagnetic impulse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this electromagnetic, inclination, you know, was already so strong. But now with the 5G, the pollution, the electromagnetic pollution went over limits. You know, the life cannot support this. That's why you have these hundreds of birds falling down in cities where they install this 5G. This is crime. This is crime against life. I don't know if this crime is done on the purpose or this crime is done because of the engineers don't have knowledge actually how much this is irritating human coherent electromagnetic field. But definitely with the 5G with the 5G technology, there will be a disaster on this planet. You know, people will get sick in millions.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, we do have to get out of here. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to have Pacho reschedule so we can have a little bit longer of a conversation next time it's not doing this and we've got something to protect the studio from going down like that again. And I really appreciate you coming on the broadcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. And we have to work together because the Earth is passing a very difficult time. And if we will not enlighten human minds with the right informations, what is going on this planet, we will have then a very, very hard time.
I totally agree. You guys heard it from somebody that's way smarter than most of us, a physicist, right? Telling you, like, okay, look, you need to get this fixed right now. Y'all go to the website, bijectivephysics.com. Thank you, Pacho, for hooking this up. Thank you guys at the Fringe FM, all you in the Fringe FM chat. Sign up to the Patreon. Help us, support us. Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable's up next. Shout out to Kronos and Steezy Stevie. Good night, y'all.